Welcome to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. Joan and Janet are subtle energy empaths in the field of consciousness. Their passion is to support your evolutionary growth and change. Join them as they talk about our individual and collective evolutions, explore what living consciously with energetic awareness means in our daily lives. Access with them a state of grace. There is no time, no space. Feel the warmth and acceptance and opening into infinite possibilities. Combining a broad collection of modalities and personal experiences, they share with humility and humor their appreciation for the body-mind-spirit connections that we call life. Now, here is Joan Newcomb and Janet Barrett.
Welcome to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. We're your co-host, Joan Newcomb, and I'm coming to you from Tacoma, Washington, and my partner, Janet Barrett, is coming to you from Portland, Oregon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome.
We have a great show for you today. It's about April Fools and consciousness. So, April Fools.
And you always get that. Practical jokes when you talk about consciousness. That's the cosmic joke. So it's right up the alley there.
Yeah, there's a whole element of the cosmic joke, but you know we were looking at the energy of April's Fools and what that is from consciousness versus what it is here on planet Earth, mm-hmm. And you were talking about like the what are they called, the Three Stooges, Curling
right.
Mom and Mary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who, I had a crush on Mo when I was little, when I was four.
Okay,
and I look
haircut,
now,
wasn't
and,
it?
And
yeah.
He's, maybe it was the guy with thick black hair. And, but he, gosh, they were all ugly as sin. And they were really violent with each other. It's painful to watch now.
Right.
I don't find it funny anymore.
Well, we were talking about how we kind of sometimes think, it feels kind of like gendered issues. I don't know a lot of women who enjoy the humor of Curly, Moe, and Larry there, or the Three Stooges. Women, I, in my awareness, and I'm not making blanket statements. There we go. So I can be foolish and silly. See, okay, there we go. I'm comfortable with that. Men seem to enjoy them, and it's that physical, there seems to be a lot of physicality to their humor, for instance,
right.
And I'm not really happy about taking a punch. That wouldn't, that
right.
really does not instill humor to me, but, it's interesting. It seems to be a Western culture, event. You don't see a lot of print in about Chinese or Asians getting into April Fools. So it does have a history, and often the fool was, like you like to talk about Shakespeare, was in the court, was the jester who used
right.
humor to keep the king apprised of his actions and what was going on. So there's an art to letting someone feel foolish and silly and in on the joke. And I think that's it's something behooves all of us is to be willing to be foolish now and
yeah
then.
Yeah, and actually the fool in Shakespeare often was like the narrator who had sort of he was actually really wise underneath it,
right.
but the guise was being foolish,
and he had to be very clever and get his head chopped off, so. You don't want to point fingers at the king and not do it correctly. So.
Yeah. I wanted to just touch back on the whole gender issue, because I was thinking about when I was four. I had two older brothers, who did nothing but wrestle around the house, and so that kind of rough and tumble atmosphere, probably was pretty normal to me when I was three or four. but I have noticed it's like, the guys that have to do active things. And when you have two sons, because I have two sons now, and they would wrestle when they were happy, and they wrestled when they hated each other, and the sound effects were the same. So there's a different approach to physical pain, I think, from men, a lot of men. There are other men who are sensitive who aren't into that kind of thing, but those who like to play football or lacrosse.
They like the grunt. Yeah, they got the grunt the in grunt there. Well, is, you know. Okay. So what do we need to do our announcements then? And then we'll all that.
So we get carried away.
Yes.
This is what conscious conversations and any kind of conversations. So yes, we want to let folks know that we are on Facebook and on Twitter. So there's lots of ways to communicate with us. And we love hearing from you. We love to hear from our listeners. And so you can join us on Facebook at Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. And you can get all of our announcements, but you also get our weekly writings. We'll post our weekly writings there. And we have some great interactions with people we've come to know over the years. And you can follow us on Twitter at Joan and Janet for those announcements as well, and links to our blog posts. And you can follow me on Twitter, which is at Joan Newcomb. How you'll get a lot of pictures of corgis and historic buildings. So, you can also email us if you like that. Email is Joan. Our email is consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. Because give us your suggestions of things to talk about as well. And we will mention your name on the air. We'll give you your 15 minutes of fame, and we'll answer your questions, and we'll look more deeply into those topics that you're curious about.
And there's lots to explore. So please, we appreciate hearing from you. Any kind of feedback is fine. If we make sense to you, if we don't make sense to you, we're really not attached, because this is our way to connect with everyone out there in a conscious way, but we're always connecting unconsciously in the state of consciousness. So if you check out my website at janetandbeyond.com, you can sign up to get my weekly email. Both Joan and I write weekly about what life is going on, and gives you a way to participate and see what's going on in our worlds and how that might be influencing your world. Not that it's influencing your world, but we're all one. So you can tag into what we're doing and you can go, oh yeah, I noticed that. And it's just a really way to build community and realize that good things are happening out there, even sometimes when it doesn't look like so much fun. So,
and when they sign up for your top 10 tips, they can also get a discount on your services.
Services, $25 discount for that first session, and those top 10 tips for enjoying life really are including and not limited to the following 28, because I realized once I started articulating them that there's a lot of things I've learned about life and how to enjoy it, because that's one thing people do comment to me about. It's like, Jana, you have a lot of reasons to not enjoy life, but you do. How do you do that? So that's what I share with you. And I'm just like you. I've had things to deal with in my life, and here I am, still going. So we want to make sure that you can, whatever we can do.
So I have a special on my website too, real quick. My website is joan-newcomb.com. And if you go to my website, you can book a reading and get a free book. This is good through March. You can take a look at jokes on me, time and space. And we've talked about that already as well, but go to my website and see what my newest offerings are for booking sessions. That's again is joan-newcomb.com. So I wanted to touch on the thing that you had just said also about amusement and jokes and just, you know, sense of humor and what's up. And so we're going to do this on the other side. Janet's going to bring us into heart space, and we're going to have a wider, more conscious experience about what this is all about on April 1st. So we have to stop for a commercial break, but stay tuned as we're going to talk about April Fools and consciousness in a state of grace.
Are you ready to take a quantum leap in your life? Joan Newcomb is a conscious mastery coach who empowers you to navigate life from your own inner wisdom using energy techniques. Contact her through her website, joan-newcomb.com, and take conscious mastery of your life today. That's joan-newcomb.com.
Would you like a fresh approach to the challenges you're dealing with? Janet Barrett is a subtle energy empath, Feeling the energies present in your myths and language, she offers a supportive, non-judgmental viewpoint. Experience new ways to relate to and release the energies in those stories. Receive a $25 discount on your first session. Email Janet for an appointment at janetb@janetandbeyond.com. Come explore with Janet. New possibilities for a joy-filled life.
You are listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. To reach our program, please send questions and comments to consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. That's consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. Now, back to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet.
Welcome back. You're listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet, and I'm your host, Joan, and I'm along here with Janet, and we are talking about April Fools and consciousness.
Wouldn't think they'd go together, would you? But as far as I'm concerned, life is one big cosmic joke, people. So I've had enough experience in my life that's all you can do is laugh. You know, through the tears, you're just laughing at times. And it's about not being attached. So as we celebrate today and the changing of the guard and spring showing up and or going into fall, whatever part of the universe that you're in, it's how to be playful, which is what this is all about. Let's put it in context that makes us feel good, because most of us don't really care to be the butt of a practical joke. And that's interesting how we use that language, you know, of how you feel about it. But because there's not practical means that it's something in physicality, but it was the intention was always to embarrass someone. So, or let them in on the joke while it's happening and be able to laugh. So that is really kind of in a nutshell what positioning you want to be with about being in life, I think. So take a break. Let's just put down whatever you're doing, that part of you that can join along with us. Take a breath. Yeah, let's see where we're at today. Okay, there you go. And just relax. What, you know, there's that wonderful yoga that does the Laughing Buddha and does a lot of laughter, and it's just a state you generate. So you can laugh about anything. It's just it's a great way to clear the pipes, and so to speak. So let's just relax. Put it all down. What if today was about fun and every moment of your life was about fun? That's the whole thing. Not so much. And your willingness to be foolish and your willingness to be silly and your willingness to just let go the dignity that you think you encompass and give it a rest. So just relax. There we go. Okay, there we go. I didn't even have to tell you how to do that today. That's wonderful. You can just feel that. So go down in that heart field. Look at that emotional terrain. So if that emotional terrain was encoded in fun, what are the things that would show up for you there? So just kind of put that in order. Allow for the unexpected. And anything that doesn't feel like fun, just put it over there. And then just step in to the all, the core, the essence of us all, where we're all one. Okay, there we go. What you noticing, Joan?
Well, I was noticing when I was looking at the difference between consciousness and the kind of practical joke you were talking about is, you know, and you were saying the practical joke is about, you know, embarrassing people, making fun. There's an element of pain to it, whether it's emotional or not. Mm-hmm. And my awareness is that in consciousness, it's the energy is amusement. It is light. It is playful. When when you are aligned and you are operating from consciousness, you feel very lighthearted, and so what it feels like is that the practical joke aspect of it is a distortion that happens when we come into form. So, you know, it's like the original intention is lighthearted, childlike, playful, and then it comes into form, and then there's an element of meanness to it that isn't actually funny. It's not really funny watching people get hurt, you know. And
that makes me laugh. Pardon me.
Look out for the whoopee cushion. But it's a distortion of that pure energy. And you had said something before the break that I wanted to touch on it well, which is about, it was essentially like God has a sixth sense of humor. And I've been aware of that in terms of manifesting, when you work to consciously manifest something, it's like, be specific about your manifestations, because, you know, God has a warped sense of humor, and, you know, if you don't specify, you know, you'll manifest your soulmate and they'll be married, you know, or you'll manifest your soulmate and they'll be your child, or, you know, the thing, there'll be a loophole or there'll be something wrong with it. And even that feels like that kind of sense of distortion or twistiness that happens when you bring a pure intention into physical reality.
Well, I think maybe my slant on that would be whatever shows up in the cosmic sense of, well, be careful what you wish for, you know, is in a non-attached way. So we can feel what we might feel about it and the unkindness or whatever, but that's also, if you're not attached, it's just information. And I don't, you know, things happen all the time. And I mean, I've been in great pain and stuff and just have to burst out laughing, because that was just like, I can't take this. Well, who are we kidding here? You know, and sure enough, I show up. So it's your only recourse. It releases all those agendas and all those assumptions and all those things. It cuts through that, and other things can cut through it. Pain will cut through anything. But and you know, it's like, okay. So I think what we want to look at, everyone, is what if you had, let's use today as not an excuse, but as a reorganization. That there is fun everywhere. And if you reorganized your awareness of heart space and how you go through your daily life with the intention of holding, feeling good, because that's what fun is, right? It's that unexpected sweetness about life. How would things be different? What if we could re-encode that it's not so much the practical joke, and those are fine in the context that you have them and who you're with, etc., but the whole idea that life is presenting opportunities at any moment to enjoy itself. And I think that's what we can rededicate ourselves to. So let's just notice those things out there. If you had a light touch, and interesting that we use a light touch for humor and things like that, you don't have to be heavy-handed. So what today is going on? They could use a light touch, just a lessening of the, you can feel the crunch of emotions, the squeeze that emotions put on something. So just lighten it back up, lessen it, and just see what flows. What would it be like to spontaneous break out in laughter? And all of us have done this at some point, probably, where we experience something that strikes us as funny. We laugh, and people go, "What are they laughing about?" And then it's kind of like that sneezing thing or the yawning thing, and pretty soon everybody's like sneezing and yawning and lighthearted, whatever it is. I like life that way.
Yeah, well, you know. That's great. You know, humor, it's a relief from tension. So if you think of all the discomfort and tension, and this has been a really active, March was a really active month, you know? And there was a lot of stuff going on.
And we made it, Joan. We're here in April.
We survived. Right, exactly. Because there is no time or space as consciousness. Right. But, and the, you know, we're coming, we actually have another eclipse coming up on the 4th here, so just in a couple days. It's the shortest eclipse of the century, and it's a new moon eclipse. But we'll be feeling the tensions of that as well. There's lots of openings and closings and that happen when eclipses happen. And they happen every 6 months, but they can completely turn your life around. It's like a cosmic practical joke sometimes. And, you know, and will propel you into a complete new experience of change. So a sense of humor can help just be amused about what is going on in life. And it can help you get through it. But the other thing I was thinking about is when you're operating at that level of consciousness where you're amused, you don't have the attachment that the body has to things, because there's no death, there's no life or death or pain on the level of consciousness. So you're amused about things, but that the body takes very seriously, and the body takes body personality level here takes things very seriously, because they're not going to make it allowed. Our bodies are not going to make it out of this lifetime alive. So everything is survival, at the core of it. So we're talking about how to integrate this, how to have both, how to have your conscious experience and not have your body freaked out that it's going to die. And how to navigate so that you're in agreement with both aspects of yourself. And as consciousness, you can know that your body's freaked out about dying or experiencing this growth period, this experience of growth and change, in an extreme way. And, do something nice for it. Take it to see watch a funny movie on Netflix, give it chocolate, give it hot baths as a way to just get through all of this.
Well, I have to say, coming out of disease patterns and illness and a lot of extreme pain, that it's like how important laughter was, how important, how healing it actually was. And I'm one of those, my husband's a mental health therapist, and he's fine to sit and watch a drama. But I got to tell you, I don't watch dramas too much. I don't watch disaster movies too much. I want humor.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a point of contention, because when we go to sit and watch a movie, he's like, okay, what's the funny movie this week? Because I'm not going to watch the dramas too much. Because why do I need that? I already hold that in me. So I'm looking for ways that... force, that's totally the wrong word, but allow me, see, and look at the whole difference in the dynamic when I use the word force as opposed to allow, that allow me to express myself in a joyous way. I'm looking to gather all the experiences I can. And our media is really good about putting a lot of information out there in our faces that doesn't feel good. And so laughter, and laughter is an individual experience as anything else. What is fooly? What is silly? What is what tickles our personal funny bones? So there are a lot of people that they find a certain character funny. For instance, they're not to me, because I see harm in it. I see. Oh, just agendas in it. And I'm not looking to feel bad let anyone feel that way. So some people have a tolerance for humor that comes across. And that's more about the Three Stooges kind of level of thing, I guess. But what I am noticing right in this moment is the willingness to appear foolish and silly, and how important that is. Most of us are so loss of face comes to mind if we appear foolish. Foolishness seems to have embarrassment and shame with it. And no one wants to feel shame or embarrassment. And you don't have to feel that way, though. Those often are emotional energies that seem to come when we relate to other people. That it's how other people view at us. And you don't have to go there with that. There's something really glorious about rolling on the floor and screaming your head off in laughter, and you can't help yourself, and the other person next to you is just sitting there looking at you.
suddenly I see Tom looking at you, rolling on the floor.
I have certain books, for instance, that I'll read, authors, you know, they just crack me up, and I'm sitting there just laughing my guts out, and my husband's just sitting there looking at me, and then he'll go back to read Game of Thrones, which is not a real fun book, I don't think, by any means. And, you know, I'm having a great time. I'm in my world having a great time, and I really don't care what other people think. And that comes into something. So what is it when you have a partner or people you're with who have a different sense of humor, and you don't, you know, and then you get those silly little giggles, and you got your hand in front of your mouth to keep you from saying something where inappropriate, you know, sometimes humor can be very inappropriate, can be a nervous reaction to something, and you got your boss and he's talking to you and you just got the silly ass giggles, and you know it's not appropriate to say something. And because people are foolish all the time. And a lot of what we deal with life daily is silly and petty. Sometimes those two go together. They don't have to. But just enjoying. If you can see the humor in your day, some jobs aren't geared towards that. Some people aren't geared towards that. So I have found it really helpful to get through stuff, whether it's, you know, I'm upside down having a CAT scan or something and laughing at myself or where I find myself, or, you know, somebody walking down the street and the dog's tangling them in the leash, and, or, you know, talking to the guy about my car and going, well, wouldn't you know it?
Right. Anything, you know, and that's, it's about not taking things so seriously.
Right.
Because it's probably not life or death, you know, and, you know, so to not react dramatically, even if it seems dramatic, because if it seems dramatic, it probably isn't. Mm-hmm. So when you're from coming from the perspective of consciousness and you're experiencing it as consciousness, there's no drama about it. You know, it is just, it is lighthearted and amusing. And mm-hmm. And you can actually be amused about your partner having a different sense of humor, or the fact that, you know, this man just finds, you know, relaxation in watching people get, you know, I've forgotten the medieval term for splitting somebody up the center. You know, it's like, oh my God, you know, Game of Thrones is just so bloodthirsty. But yeah, and I have seen this where, you know, the man of the house is watching, you know, a 007 movie and things are blowing up, and it's like, or Mythbusters, favorite movie in our house, TV show in our house is Mythbusters. And they just find that relaxing. So the amusing thing about it is there's got to be something male about watching things erupt.
Boy, you nailed that one, Joan.
You know.
Yeah, I think there is. It's inherent in them. I must admit, I enjoy Mythbusters and watching things blow up. I enjoy football and watching men hit each other. But not to the point of, my God, they're going to hurt themselves and brain damage. And you know what I mean? There's all these sensitive levels you have to this stuff. So what else did we want to notice in this moment out there that's... What if people could just relax? Okay, so everybody, just tune in and notice if you have any sense of relaxation and what that would be like. There we go. So another thing we were in our comment of what April Fool's is about is, for me, the Fool is the most powerful card in the tarot deck. And it's basically innocence coming down off the mountain, got his little bag of tricks, got his little animal energy there, and maybe dressed inappropriately for the day that he's going to have. And he's just going off having experience. He's not attached to anything. And that is so powerful. That is innocence, having its experiences. And how that in each of us, willing to take a leap, willing to show up. Oh, okay. I'm just hearing someone dressed inappropriately, or that's the judgment made at an event or something. And how do you carry that off, right? And I guess you just do. What would it be like to be okay But we've all been there. Yeah, just notice. What if it was okay? Go to heart. But that's a true experience. People have that. And you don't have to go into shame or embarrassment. But what does happen is when people are laughing at us, the difference between them laughing at us as opposed to with us. So, and that's kind of the practical joke energy thing, I think. So,
and, then, and you're also, when you talk about ethics, anything that is good or bad or right or wrong is all not consciousness. That's all from the level of the body and the personality and society and culture and all those things. Mm-hmm. This experience of consciousness is expansive. It is light and expansive, and yet you are still within your physical form. You're in this heart space that is this amazing, you know, universal experience of love. So it's like, is there love in this humor? Is there love in any of this? You know, so what you're also describing is people feeling smaller than or less than or limited than. And all of that is a cue that you're not experiencing consciousness. Well, you're experiencing heart space.
Okay, so here's a great, great thing to do, people, because I can feel that. All right, so for those of us who've personally had that experience of not being appropriately garbed or whatever, or you show up. Oh, lots of people have that dream about being naked in front of an audience or something
actually,
like that.
There was a news article like a week or so ago of some woman who got on a dare, and she was probably drunk, you know, got undressed in front of Walmart or something. Stark naked. She was arrested naked in front of Walmart. So that's when you kept saying inappropriately dressed. I kept seeing inappropriately undressed.
Lucky. Yeah, right.
Naked in public is not appropriately dressed.
Okay. No, that would be appropriately naked in front of public. So
depends
here we go.
On your culture, but yes. Right.
Right. So everybody just notice that moment. Okay. So it's there. So just notice that moment. Now, let's do exactly what Joan and I were talking about. So there's where people are laughing at you. So notice that. And then let's switch to the viewpoint of where we're laughing to. And that is a shift up. And watch yourself. Notice what happens. As consciousness, be laughing at yourself in that experience. See what happens. There we go. Just take that energy from that personal place and go up with it or out with it. Because we've all been there. So the feeling people laughing at us is really about the times we couldn't laugh at ourselves. Or we were too close to it and we couldn't see it. So just use that bigger vision there. Re-encode that experience. Notice what else is going on there. Notice all of those people naked. Right? I mean, that's one thing we tell people to get on someone's level is just see them sitting on the toilet. Okay? Everybody's got to do it. Right? So you have this image of someone and, they're overpowering. Put them on a toilet. Okay? And it just brings them down to your level. And maybe they poop money. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But just allow yourself. So what if everybody's naked? What would that be like? See, because as soon as you go naked, then we can get into judgments really easy. We can start to make discernments really. That eye just starts firing. Oh, I like that. I don't like that. Ooh, boop, 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 boop. You can hear all the dribble going on.
So, and all of that's not consciousness. I mean, we're talking about the difference between the mind chatter and the discernment chatter and the essence of who you are. So when we're aware of things as consciousness and when we're communicating as consciousness, it's a different perspective. So, you know, when you had us go to the level of laughter, what I found instead was this compassion for the aspect of me that is being laughed at. And it's a little bit like having a little kid, kid who is just being, you know, I keep thinking my older son, when he was like 3 or 4, he'd give me this really big smile and he'd keep looking at me smiling while he was walking, and he would walk into the kitchen cabinets. You know,
oh,
so, you know, and it was just, it was adorable, and you know,
yeah,
and,
right,
just like boom. So, so that's what I'm thinking is, it's like, you know, when you shift up to this awareness as consciousness, you can love yourself in your humanness and be amused by the situations that you create in form. And there's no judgment of it. There's just expansive love. Like, oh, look,
well,
you're dating another person who's unfaithful to you. I love you so much. Let's gather our things and leave now. You know, well, but, you know, you do it from a sense of love as well.
Right. Well, I think what I'm aware of here is so that you feel the embarrassment or the shock or the shame in that empathic state that we are all in. What you might be feeling that's antagonizing even more is the person who's observing you, their shame, their awareness of themselves in that situation. And I think that's an interesting thing to notice right now, because we've all been there. We all have that fear to be inappropriate or to be exposed, because that's what naked is being exposed. So what if that was okay? There are some things, because when you're secret oriented, when you're not showing up, the difference between being in your heart and your mind is exposure. It's exposure to yourself, exposure to others who can see you, and we know we'll go in judgment. Because that's what we do. Don't have to. Because if you're in a neutral place and state of grace, which is warmth, support, non-judgment, remember everyone, then we can access compassion. We can access love. We can access these different things that say, ah, that could be me. What is that statement? But there go I, or something that's not right there.
Yeah,
but
there for the grace of God go I.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, when I'm bringing this back to this awareness of April Fools, and, and you know, there's this thing about the village idiot, and that people felt, though every time I say that, I keep seeing George W. Bush, but the village idiot is a fool was blessed by God. So, and so there was, you know, small villages had, like, there was a space for the idiot because they saw him blessed by God. And so if you take the foolishness into actually being blessed by God, it's really about innocence. I think you'd said this earlier too. It's about innocence, in that. So if you lift it up to the energy of lightheartedness, of playfulness, of innocence, and then all the foibles of humanity are just, you know, that's all they are, is they're foibles. And so those heavier energies that you were mentioning, those are all just, that's like the bottom of the fish tank. That's the mud level of stuff. And when you're in consciousness, you've raised up and beyond it. You're not detached. You're not in denial about it. But you're not stuck in it either. You know, you're swimming at a higher level, and that's the way to navigate life, with a sense of more ease and more joy, and actually to facilitate healing. Because if you're stuck in those lower levels, then you know, you're solidifying them as real. Whereas if you want to make change, you have to be at a higher vibration.
Well, I think the truth is, when we get into our emotional space, that's how we experience stuff. That is the
And the emotional state can be one of joy. So
totally.
When you're at this level of joy and happiness and lightheartedness, so you have a choice of, you know, what emotional state. Or you can be on the receiving end of the lacrosse stick, you know, of the tackle, you know.
Whereas, so we've got all this in this language of the fool, is the awareness of the love, the innocence appearing as silly, because foolish is a judgment word. Silly is a judgment word. You know, they're not neutral statements in any way. So it's how we're framing this whole conversation. And we don't have a lot of words for people to just be spontaneously expressing without putting a label on it that usually is demeaning or limiting or something. So innocence is free of labels. That's the whole nature of it. It hasn't got experience to say it's this, that, or the other thing. So the fool is really us celebrating our innocence.
You know, the word silly is, for me, it is, I keep thinking of Monty Python's Silly Walk. But, you know, if I make a mistake or something, I'll say, oh, silly me, because it's like, I'm not stupid. I just made a silly mistake. And so it's actually can be a lighthearted way of accepting that, you know, we're imperfect and we all get, you know, we all get to make 5 mistakes a day. Some of us get to make 10, you know, and if you've only made 1 or 2 today, you've got 3 to 7 left. Mm-hmm. So, you know, oh, silly me, or do the silly walk or do the silly dance. And that's what life really is a silly dance, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And our bodies are pretty silly.
The British are pretty good for that. It's interesting how different cultures, we wouldn't say Germans are necessarily, in my awareness, okay, and I'm
not
assuming a
great deal
here. Not a
lot of German comedies that I can think about.
Right.
Think of,
comedy doesn't, and Germany are not necessarily associated together. And I'm sorry for all our German friends who are out there listening, but they're probably aware of it. You know, and so it's very cultural experiences, too. And how we view playfulness and amusement and the value we put on it. Because a lot of society is not putting value on it. Though it is. I mean, you know, we love comedians. We love to laugh. We love to do these things. Because it's the not necessarily the opposite, but it's the part of, there's a lot of drama and trauma in life that we find, right? And that's not the only thing we find. It is all of it. So how do we balance these things out? How do we be in harmony is realizing that any moment, and look how we do this when tragedy happens and then comedy comes out of it, out of something that you would think. We take our moment and we go, okay, we acknowledge where this pain and where this hurt is. And then pretty soon there comes that place where, okay, now we can transition this. And that's what the humor does. And that's what true humor is taking those little bits of life and putting a different perspective on it. And we laugh our heads silly. I mean, you know, that's what comedy is all about. Comedy that comes out of truth is much more impressive to me. And realizing how oh, okay, look the way I set that up, as opposed to the pratfall kind. But there's a place for all of it. So we bet ready to come back out, you think, Joan? I think we're there.
Yeah, so I invite people, as we're coming out of heart spaces, that you can still hold that lighthearted awareness, that sense of relaxation, or that sense of expansiveness, whatever you have come to in this experience with Janet and myself, is you can actually hold that as you come back up, you know, from heart space into, you know, back out onto street level, is the way I call it, to go out in your day, to drive your car, go out in your day or whatever, is that you can hold this good feeling with you for the rest of the day.
You can hold it the rest of your life.
Yes.
All right. So let's just bring it back. Bring it back. There we go. We be there. We'll be right back, everyone.
Okay, yes. Want to invite you to hold this heart space as we go to commercial break, but stay tuned because we have a lot more to cover as we play in consciousness.
Are you ready to take a quantum leap in your life? Joan Newcomb is a conscious mastery coach who empowers you to navigate life from your own inner wisdom using energy techniques. Contact her through her website, joan-newcomb.com, and take conscious mastery of your life today. That's joan-newcomb.com.
Would you like a fresh approach to the challenges you're dealing with? Janet Barrett is a subtle energy empath. Feeling the energies present in your myths and language, she offers a supportive, non-judgmental viewpoint. Experience new ways to relate to and release the energies in those stories. Receive a $25 discount on your first session. Email Janet for an appointment at janetb@janetandbeyond.com. Come explore with Janet. New possibilities for a joy-filled life.
You are listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. To reach our program, please send questions and comments to consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. That's consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. Now, back to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet.
Welcome back. You're listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. And I'm Joan Newcomb here with Janet Barrett. And Janet and I are leading edge creators in the field of consciousness technology. And we've been talking about April Fools and consciousness. And we've been covering all sorts of things from the stereotypical April Fool and the way it shows up in practical jokes and things like that. We've talked about the gender aspects of it. And then we lifted it up to a consciousness level where the energy of consciousness is amusement and playfulness, and it is a level of neutrality. And how that feels different and how we can bring that into form and make it a lot easier and more fun to be here.
It is fun to be here, everyone. Okay. That's my bottom line, is consciousness in action as Janet. I've come to the awareness that I can think it was other things, and most of my life it was. But that's the state I'm in now, and it's a really nice place to come, and you can be there too if you so choose. So why don't we today set whatever time it is in your world or wherever you are in your time and listening to this, is what if you could do one thing that was silly or foolish and feel good about it, and do that today? Now, realizing that everybody's level of an understanding of what is foolish or silly is personal to them, but what if you kind of went out on the limb, like in a state of innocence, dressed, got your tools, got your animal energy there, and you were willing to take a leap into what looks like an abyss, but is really full of wonderful, magical things. And the release of what that would feel like within you, to know that you could enjoy the unexpected. And so we're going to do a future tense, bring in a state where, let's see, we'll go out 3 days where you've already enjoyed and you feel good because you did something silly and it was okay and everybody was okay with it, see, because set it up that way, and it was appropriate or out of appropriateness, that maybe that's even better, and you feel good. And let's bring that energy into this moment. And notice what that feels like. You feel good. Here we go. And just enjoy what that feels like. So now when you go do it, you've already done it. And what that feels like. And it may be as simple as just letting go of how you did something today. Because in some people's mind, if you change your habit, that's silly. That's foolish. So we're not asking you to do too much. We're asking you to just notice what would take a leap of faith that you'd be okay if you'd allowed something different to happen. There we go.
You know, you can also just do something that makes you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to bring more laughter or amusement into your life.
Mm-hmm. You know, my husband and I, we listen to Pandora comedy, and that's something we really enjoy. We love, and I have to be honest, I like humor that's edgy, sarcastic, witty, whatever, angry. It can be angry because, you know, you do get angry about stuff, and then there's the funniness of it. And so sometimes a rant can be pretty good, and I will embrace that. And I allow myself to show up as I am, as I'm feeling about things. And I might not even be angry or anything, but then that triggers. It's like, oh, you're right. I didn't get that out of me. It's fun. I enjoy life.
Okay. So, yeah. I am noticing my voice in the background there. I just thought I'd put that out, and I don't know where I'm hearing it from. So, must be from consciousness.
You're getting feedback, Joan.
Exactly. You're getting feedback from the universe. And that's the other thing, is that if worse comes to worse, you can just ask consciousness to bring humor into your life. I went through something like this a while back where everything was like really dark and dramatic. And I was like, you know what? I talked to my universal script writers, is how I called it. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'd rather my life be a romantic comedy now, please. You know, so change the movie. So yeah. You can do that as well.
So tell people how to do that real quick.
Well, so you can, if you think of like all the world's a stage, and this is, and this is all a creation of consciousness. At the highest level, you as consciousness are creating everything, but sometimes we're just not at that space of feeling it. You know, we're feeling like, we're the extra in the movie here, when actually, you are both the star and the director. But you can ask, you have unseen help. So you can ask, just put out the request to your cosmic script writers to write some humor into it, to bring some laughter into your life, shift the perspective from that this is not, a serious drama. It may be it's a soap opera, but, or it can be, a romantic comedy, or, some people out there might want it to be sci-fi. Who knows?
Well, okay, so that depends. Now, and if you have an issue with writing comedy and don't see that for yourself, let's employ the energy of, let's say, a Neil Simon. Or let's employ the energy of a John Cleese. Or employ the energy of someone whose humor you like. And what would it be like if they were writing your story? Oh, I love that idea. So let's just put that real. And what would that be like? What would it be like if John Cleese and Fawlty Towers could be more your life than, let's say,
I was thinking Fish Called Wanda, but that's a different movie. A little bit later.
Yes. There's pain and tragedy and humor.
Flying surfing.
Very good. Yes. And I'll be honest, I love the Black Knight. Is it the Black Knight in Monty Python and his legs? No matter what, he just keeps going, I'm fine, fine. And he's got no arms. I mean, for some reason, actually, that cracks me up. Like, he just cracked up. It's yes, like that part of us that just insists.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
So we're both Monty Python lovers. There you go. That explains a lot, people. So do we have any announcements here to close with, Joan?
Yeah, I just want to remind folks that they can connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter. You can go to Facebook and join us at Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. I always say join the group and join the fun. You can be the first to know of the things going on, as well as the extra stuff that we're doing in both of our personal practices. And then you can follow us on Twitter at Joan and Janet. And then... let me see. And then go to my website and see the new things that I'm offering for the month of April. My website is joan-newcomb.com. And Janet, what have you got for April?
Oh, gosh. I got sillies. Okay, everybody. When you click on my website, you're going to get bubbles. I'm putting this thought out there that when you click on the website, janetandbeyond.com, whether you see them or not, there are bubbles. And what would it be like to have bubbles? And that would be unexpected. It won't hurt anyone. And just notice how real you can have that. I'm going to power that right now. So everybody enjoy yourselves and see what happens with the bubbles. Write to me. Let me know if you get some.
Great. And you've been listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet, and I'm your host, Joan Newcomb. And
I'm Janet Barrett, and we look forward to talking to you the next time or talking with you. What is it we do here, Joan?
We join as consciousness expressing and evolving. So talk to you next time. Same channel, same time, same channels.
You've been listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. Thanks so much for helping to co-create the show. No matter whether you're tuning in live or listening on demand, you energetically contribute to our collective experience. Joan and Janet love to hear from you and invite you to email your comments and ideas for them to explore each week. Contact them at consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another great show at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and 10 p.m. UTC.